Welcome back to Stillness in the Storm audiocast series. I'm Sarah Eager.
And I'm Jan Alco. Today we're exploring what it means to be present, which might be one of the most important practices in our toolkit.
I think a lot of us struggle with this. When things are uncertain or scary, my mind is either replaying the past or racing into the future.
And that's so common. When we're fearful or distressed, we spend time wishing we could go back to before things changed, or our imaginations create these bleak futures that feel even worse than right now.
Yes, Jan, you're right. It's like our thoughts have just run wild.
Oh, they do. I sometimes call them monkey minds, thoughts bouncing all over the place. But here's the thing. Living in the past or the future actually fuels our fears about the present.
So being present is about what exactly?
Well, it's about showing up for what's happening now, noticing how we feel in our bodies, our minds, and our emotions. And I know that might sound uncomfortable.
Yeah, because sometimes what's happening now isn't very pleasant. So what if I'm in pain or feeling angry or hopeless?
Right. And this is where people often resist. We spend so much energy dodging discomfort, suppressing it, trying to avoid it. But that really requires more struggle and effort than just being with it.
More effort to avoid it than to face it.
Yes, indeed. And sometimes our avoidance becomes the problem. Drinking too much, self-harming, other behaviours that temporarily help but create new issues. Or we go through life on autopilot, keeping both pain and joy at arm's length.
Gosh, that's a sad way to live.
It certainly is. Because we end up controlled by what we're trying to avoid. We can't express our strengths or live fully. But here's what's really interesting. When we stay present and accept how we feel without trying to change it, research shows that it actually reduces physical pain, depression, and anxiety.
Gosh, that's so interesting. I really like what you said. We end up being controlled by what we're trying to avoid. That does seem kind of counterintuitive, but fascinating.
It does. But when we just label and watch our distress, we realise we're not our distress. It's a temporary state we're experiencing. And like everything, it will pass.
So we're not at the mercy of our feelings.
Indeed. Our thoughts and feelings are valid, and we may need to act on them. But being present helps us discover we have this stable, resilient inner core we can trust when deciding how to act.
That's really interesting. Could you give me a practical example?
Sure. Imagine you're in a situation that triggers old anxious reactions, maybe a difficult conversation at work, with a colleague that you find quite difficult. You might feel yourself going into fight or flight mode, your anxiety spiraling.
Well, I've definitely been there.
But if you stay calmly present, you can notice my heart is racing, my shoulders are tight. That is, you're observing, but not drowning in it. And from that place, you can respond resourcefully instead of just reacting.
That really does make sense, but how do we practice it?
Well, the simplest way to start is with breathing. Breathing is fundamentally related to being alive. Its rhythms reflect what we're doing and how we're feeling moment by moment.
But what if focusing on breathing makes someone more anxious? I've actually had that. Some people find that focusing on the breath has the opposite effect, can make them feel more anxious.
Yeah, that's an important point. When we're very anxious, our breathing can get fast and shallow, and focusing on it might feel scary at first. The key is we're not trying to change or control it. We're just allowing it to be whatever it is. With practice, that becomes much more comfortable.
So it's more about observation, not control.
Yes. And another powerful practice is feeling the energy within your body. This helps us step out of the anxious mind and be fully present.
So I imagine for people who've experienced trauma, being in their body might also feel unsafe.
That's true. Sometimes disconnecting from our bodies was a way of protecting ourselves, maybe freezing to be less visible or mentally escaping. But the long-term consequence is feeling disconnected from ourselves and others, missing moments of fulfillment and happiness.
So reconnecting takes patience.
It does. Even just a minute or two of practice. At first, you might notice discomfort, but by staying with the sensations, you slowly re-engage with being fully alive.
And what about for people who feel like they don't have time for this?
Well, here's the beautiful thing. You can practice being present during everyday activities. Brushing your teeth, washing your hands, walking the dog. It takes no extra time.
Really? How does that work?
Well, think about brushing your teeth. Usually, we're doing it completely mindlessly. Thoughts racing ahead to work or our to-do list. We're taking our energy into the future, which makes us feel tired and stressed.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
But when you really pay attention, the taste of the toothpaste, the sensation of the brush, the sound and glint of the water, that mundane task becomes a moment-by-moment sensory experience. People say it actually makes time slow down.
Oh, I love that. Do you have an example of where you've used it?
Yes, myself. During the pandemic, I started using hand washing as a mindful practice. At first, the 20 seconds felt way too long, but then I focused on all the sensations, pumping the soap, the scent of the soap, the sound and look of the water coming out of the tap, the feel of lather. It became an enjoyable break. I even smiled at myself in the mirror when I'd finished.
That sounds like fun. It's such a simple shift, isn't it, really? Yeah, but using what we're already doing.
Yeah, it is. And from this place of being present, we find ourselves calmer, more resourceful. We're able to savour the richness of living, even experience appreciation, wonder, joy.
Even during difficult times?
Even then. I work with someone whose job was very demanding, with lots of uncertainty. They were taking more sick days, stressed about the future, their relationships were suffering. They started practicing mindfulness, focusing on breathing, staying present, particularly on dog walks.
And how did that change?
Well, they use their breathing practice to keep attention on each current task instead of worrying about what might happen. They got through more work than when they were hurrying. They asked colleagues for help, and they found that they returned to hobbies. They said, "I feel like a whole person again. I know I'll cope with whatever happens when it happens."
Wow, that's powerful.
It really is. And it connects to what we'll explore in a future episode on acceptance. Because acceptance, not judging what we're experiencing, is key to this practice.
So for listeners wanting to start, where should they begin?
Well, choose one daily activity this week. Really be there for it. Notice everything. When your mind wanders, and it will, gently guide it back. Don't criticize yourself. Treat your thoughts like an untrained dog that just needs leading back again and again.
So there are no rights and wrongs?
There aren't. Just notice whatever's there. Sensations, feelings, thoughts, without judgment.
I think people will find that helpful. And as we've done in our previous sessions, we're going to try practicing that together for a little while now. So I'm going to guide you through a mindful breathing practice for about 7 minutes. And this is called affectionate breathing, and I'll be leading it.
That's great, Sarah. So just get comfortable and off we go.
Please find a posture in which your body is comfortable and will feel supported for the length of the meditation. Then let your eyes gently close, partially or fully. Taking a few slow, easy breaths, releasing any unnecessary tension in your body. If you like, placing a hand over your heart or another soothing place as a reminder that we're bringing not only awareness but affectionate awareness to our breathing and to ourselves. You can leave your hand there or let it rest at any time. Now begin to notice your breathing in your body, feeling your body breathe in and feeling your body breathe out. Perhaps noticing how your body is nourished on the in-breath and relaxes with the out-breath. Just letting your body breathe you. There is nothing you need to do. Now noticing the rhythm of your breathing, flowing in and flowing out. Take some time to feel the natural rhythm of your breathing. Perhaps inclining your attention towards your breathing as you might towards a beloved child or a dear friend. Feel your whole body subtly moving with the breath, like the movement of the sea, in and out, in and out, just like the waves lapping on the shore. Your mind will naturally wander like a curious child or a little puppy, but when this happens, just gently return to the rhythm of your breathing. Allow your whole body to be gently rocked and caressed, internally caressed by your breathing. If you like, even giving yourself over to your breathing, letting your breathing be all that there is. Becoming the breath. Just breathing, being breathing. And now, gently releasing your attention to your breathing. And when you are ready, slowly and gently opening your eyes.
How are you feeling after that, Jan?
Well, I'm feeling calm and very centered within myself. You'll find more detail about the tool being present with ideas for practice, rescue remedies, audio recordings, and positive affirmations in our book, Stillness in the Storm, 7 Tools for Coping with Fear and Uncertainty. It's published by the Janke Foundation, and it's available in paperback, audiobook, and ebook formats.
And in the next episode, we're going to talk about loving myself based on the practice of self-compassion. And before we go, I'd like to share this positive mindfulness affirmation that I tell myself when I need to find calm. When I pay attention to an everyday task, I come fully into the present and experience the joy of living. And that's us for today. So goodbye.
Goodbye.